Welcome, everyone, to RB1 : A Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am Rom-Com Aficionado Damian Harris Truther and said Christian McCaffrey would go 1,000 and 1,000 before it was cool. Your humble host, Pete Rogers. And I am joined by some of the guys tonight. We have the champion of Doggos Everywhere. You heard it here first. And proponent for a Jon Snow hair product line, resident old man Clark Barnes. And fantasy football's premier internet doctor, Larry Fitzgerald, lone admonisher, and the number two Walter Sobchak. But number one Tarzan, ginger nobleman Nick Botiford. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
Yeah, real well, man. How are you?
I am good. I am good. Becca is just staring at me from the kitchen as she opens up the Thin Mints that I've been keeping in the freezer.
Good. She's doing it when you're powerless to stop her.
Exactly. It's a very strategic move on her part to get it done while I can't stop. And I think she's just paranoid that this sound is picking up, which it's definitely not. But now everyone knows that you're doing it because I've just told everyone. And now she's dancing awkwardly as if this is a video show, but it's not. So that's my life. That's what's happening in my house right now.
No, we don't have anything as lively going on, I don't think, Clark.
No, I'm just doing a little reloading this evening because football's stupid and I hate it. So let's on with the show.
Oh yeah, poor Clark. Don't worry, Clark. I will say in amongst my starts and sits for this week, I have a little sadness to discuss about the Patriots' current standings, and a lot of it comes from the hands of your Houston Texans.
Dude, they're winning the Super Bowl.
I mean,
every year there's some little like, oh, is this it? And no, they're so insanely good at it can take a little while, but they're so insanely good at recalibrating, going, all right, these are our strengths at this point in the year, these are our weaknesses. Roll with it.
For just a second there, I thought you meant the Texans. And I was like, oh, come on, Nick. Yeah, but no, you did.
But no, you definitely were not talking about it.
They're starting Carlos Hyde.
Okay.
Yeah, we shouldn't do this. Let's get it going. I was going to go off on the Texans. Let's get it going.
I think quickly, because we've given Bill O'Brien a lot of shit for not using Duke Johnson properly, which has been very true during the season. I think now thinking that Bill O'Brien got Duke Johnson just a tool on the Patriots. That's the only reason he brought them onto his team. And it was a wild success. Anyways.
Dude, this reminds me of like the guy in your league who hoards like four tight ends because he thinks that he's going to sabotage a bunch of other teams and not, you know, like that, oh, no one's going to have a tight end. And meanwhile, his bench is just tight end and he's totally screwed in buys or Bill O'Brien's like, I'm going to get this good player for a third rounder.
I'm going to use it to beat the Patriots, but then I'm not going to know how to use him for the rest of the season. Nailed
no
it.
No idea.
All right. Well, we got week 14 starts and sits for you. For those who have just made it into the fantasy playoffs, congratulations. Now is an important week. Got to get that victory. Got to keep building. For those who missed the fantasy playoffs, our hearts go out to you. Hopefully you'll do better next year. But hopefully we weren't to blame for your missing the playoff or your early exit. And if we were, at NFL Clark, send it his way. all right, as we always do, we've got some starts, we've got some sits that we like for this week. Nicholas, why don't you start us off with your first? Well, you pick. Are we starting with starts? Starting with sits?
I always enjoy the start, so let's give it a go there. All right, so he burned me last week. He was my featured guy in the quarterback. That's Ryan Tannehill. The dude, so he had been operating on not terribly low volume, but a bit lower than perhaps the norm for the NFL, you know, today's NFL. But his efficiency was outstanding, and he was posting like 36 rushing yards per game, and he had three rushing TDs over, you know, the last three games. They just put up a dud in, you know, against a moderately strong Indianapolis defense. This week, though, he's going up against the Raiders, and This is perhaps the worst second. I guess maybe Tampa Bay is probably the worst secondary in football, but Oakland is right friggin' there. And I don't expect him. So he's a high end quarterback too for me in my rankings, but I think that his ceiling is like top eight. He has a chance to put up a ton of points against the Raiders because they can't stop anything through the air. I think they'll throw early to get up and then just, you know, let Derrick Henry ride for three quarters. But I would be looking to get Ryan Tannehill into my lineup if I have him.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. The Raiders are giving up the third most passing touchdowns this season to quarterbacks. And so that is something you can and just, man, this Ryan Tannehill transformation. And we talked about it on Tuesday's podcast where we were talking about Devontae Parker, where it's like, oh, wow, guess what happens when you let a player develop for, you know, 3 to 4 years, and that's when they finally ascend to greatness. Now, it's been a long time for Ryan Tannehill. This is like his sixth or seventh season. But I think it's another testament to just like how much a change of scenery can benefit a player, you know? And so it's one of those situations where he got out of Miami, was kind of tootling around, figuring out what he's going to do, took a backup job in Tennessee, and now is basically played himself to be presumably, if not the incumbent, but at least in the running for a starting quarterback gig in Tennessee, or if he makes free agency, he's going to get signed big time to someone because he's been playing super well.
I think they're probably going to franchise him.
I think they'd have to. You can't let that walk out the door, which is crazy to say about Ryan Tannehill, but you got to say it.
Yeah, that dovetails nicely into one of my starts this weekend, which is the Tennessee Titans defense. For all of the reasons Nick just mentioned, I feel like the Titans come on at the end of the year for the past couple of years under Vrabel, and we're seeing that happen. Three-game win streak traveling out to Oakland. They're playing well. Derrick Henry, who everyone called was going to be great at the beginning of the year, really turning it on. And so the defense doesn't have to do much. They're talented. Vrabel is a good defensive coach. So I'm throwing out one of my starts as the Titans defense this weekend.
Yeah, I like that. They're kind of criminally underrated from a fantasy standpoint. I feel like every time that Patty Cooper releases his defensive rankings on faketeams.com, you should go look at it. We got rankings for every major position that you could possibly want fantasy football, except for, you know, individual defensive positions, because that's dumb. But the Titans are always like one of his number one streaming teams because they're 20% owned and they've been playing really well. And against a Raiders team that, you know, was flirting with maybe the playoffs, maybe something exciting, has now completely seemingly self-destructed. And you would trust the Titans defense to be able to take advantage of that. I like it. They're one of my favorite go-to DFS defenses. Also, bringing you some defensive starts and sits. How many sites and how many podcasts can make a claim to that? None. That's why we're the best. My first start for the weekend, I failed to start him last week and it's crushing. So I won't let you and our tens of listeners out there make the same mistake as I will. You have to start Benny Snell this week against the Cardinals. If you got him, he belongs in your starting lineup. Since getting healthy, he's clearly been the number one back in Pittsburgh. He's had 22 touches versus the Bengals and 17 touches last week versus the Browns. And he faces a Cardinals defense that's giving up the third most fantasy points, the backs, over the last 4 weeks. And they just made Todd Gurley look like the Todd Gurley of old last week. So I would think that Benny Snell, who's shown us a lot, will be able to get it done against the Cardinals and continue to be relied upon to move this offense while Duck Hodges chucks bombs to James Washington.
Yeah, I like it. And you know, I love to stroll down Narrative Street. The Steelers had a pretty emotional win last week. Duck Hodges is playing well. If they just get something out of the quarterback, you know, Tomlin is touted to be a great defensive mind at coach. And I don't know about that, but they seem pretty jazzed after winning last week. And they may carry a little momentum into this one as well.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin is the coach that frustrates Warren Sharp more than any other.
Mike Tomlin's feeling himself.
He's had so much insane talent and has made such bad decisions that, like, they should have won a lot more than they have. So, okay, I want to challenge you on this one a little bit, Pete, because James Conner is a limited participant in practice, and he was a limited participant in practice last week. I think he might come back. So what are you thinking for Snell if Conner is able to come back this week?
I mean, I'm still on board with it because Conner came back, you know, whatever, back in week 11 against the Browns and then immediately left after five carries. Like, I think if Connor's 100% healthy, then yes, that obviously puts a cap on Benny Snell's maximum fantasy value. But I do think that Snell has shown enough that even with a healthy James Conner back there, he's still probably going to see eight, maybe touches. That's what I would think, like 8 to 10 touches, even with a healthy Conner back there. I personally just don't have faith that even if Conner is practicing again, even in line to play, that he's going to suddenly get the full workload or be able to withstand the full workload. So I still would like Benny Snell as like a low RB3 with Conner starting or playing.
It's hard to read the tea leaves here, but my understanding is Conner has a shoulder injury. And so I think that that's an injury where you can go through some walkthroughs and practices, but he was tweeting about wanting to avoid surgery and how he was going to not play until he was confident that he could avoid surgery.
He just wants to push back surgery. He's going to have it to fix it. It's an AC joint sprain. So this is the thing. It's being listed as an AC joint sprain, but this is the most severe AC joint sprain I've ever heard of.
It's kept him out for like 5 weeks.
Yeah. Anthony Miller played with his last year. He dislocated his shoulder like 7 times, but he still played. And Randall Cobb had a really successful season with this a few years back. It's an injury that you can play on. It's very weird that this is the case. Now I got to go double check that.
Is it what Dalvin Cook has too?
Now he has an SC joint sprain. So AC connects in a different spot. The SC is still a shoulder thing, but it connects up on like the pec. He can play, but he'll probably have to have surgery, I think, in the off season too. But I don't know. I think that the news will come out at some point that says that there is more to Connor's injury, because this is weird for what the injury is listed as. So anyway, I'm on board with what you guys are saying, that Snell is probably still a safe start. I mean, the Bengals can't stop bringing anything. 10 carries against them is, you know, like that's 60 yards and a touchdown. You can very possibly bank on that.
Beautiful. That's why Nick is the fantasy football's premier internet doctor, for that kind of insight right there. I love it. Everyone's flashing their muscles so far this podcast. Clark, give us your another start for this week.
So I've got three, and I want to save my last one for last. DJ Chark has had a couple of bad games lately, as the Jaguars have learned that hard lesson that Gardner Minshew is the future. The mustache is back in. Even in his down games, Chark has still scored, you know, 5-6 points. So it hasn't been a complete wash. But if you've been considering benching Chark because you think that he's on hit the rookie wall or sophomore wall, whichever, I think he's a start this week. I'm starting with confidence, and I am speaking a lot of things into existence for the league that I did make the playoffs in. So DJ Chark, start with confidence.
I love it. In the history of their NFL, has there been a worse quarterback switch midseason than deciding that Gardner Minshew is not your future and you should go with Nick Foles? Yes. I mean, come on, Jaguars.
Teddy Bridgewater for Eli Manning. Or was it Geno Smith?
Geno Smith. Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's you're right. Well done, Clark. Well done. That is
close. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know where that came from.
Definitely worse.
God, I forgot about that. Also, Eli's back this week.
And that is going to be interesting
for the Giants. Eli's going to be a league winner because Daniel Jones is out with a high ankle sprain, and the Giants have like a cakewalk the rest of the season.
It's good for the supporting cast in New York. I'm not saying you should run out and add Eli, but I think it raises the value, especially with their schedule coming up. You know,
their schedule is so
I know prime. in vogue to push back against the idea that Eli Manning is fantastic, but I do think that the narrative's gone a little bit too far the other way. He is a competent NFL quarterback. He's not great, but he is competent. And with this schedule, I think he's going to do okay.
They play Philly, Miami, Washington.
Put me down for everything against what Clark just said about Eli Manning. The schedule, there's merit to that, but this competent NFL quarterback is no, not even a little bit.
Would you rather have Daniel Jones? If you were a Sterling Shepard owner, would you feel more confident in him with Daniel Jones or Eli Manning under center?
There's almost no scenario where I will choose Eli Manning.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
He is made of molasses. He's a terrible quarterback.
Wait, I'm finding stats and information is furiously working right now because...
So Eli Manning is the type of quarterback that you can choose stats to back up either argument. He's played well and he's played really horribly. He is not fun to watch, but I think we have someone saying the hate has gone too far and someone saying Eli Manning is the worst person to play quarterback in the NFL ever. And so we hate represent all sides enough. Here on the
We've covered
RB1 podcast.
And fantasy fake team stats and information from Matt Taglieri.
I'm so glad we got him on staff.
There you go. I know. He's great. He's working back. You thought he was writing for Fantasy Pros. No. He runs stats and information for RB1 podcast. So he tweeted out this earlier today before it was announced that Eli, and God damn it, we went on an Eli tangent. Anyways, Odell Beckham with Eli, 59 games, 10.5 targets, 6.6 receptions, 92.9 yards, 0.8 touchdowns, 20.5 PPR points per game. With OBJ without Eli, 12 games, 8.6 targets, 4.8 receptions, 67.1 yards, 0.2 touchdowns, 12.5 points per game. Saquon Barkley with Eli, 18 games, 85 yards, 42 receiving yards, 0.9 touchdowns, 23.6 PPR points. Saquon without Eli, 7 games, 43 rushing yards, 34 receiving yards, 0.3 touchdowns, 14.2 PPR points.
Eli Manning
is going to churn Saquon Barkley back into that RB1 that you all wanted.
Eli Manning's arm strength and accuracy are worse than Peyton Manning's after he had surgery on his neck that took away the feeling in his throwing hand.
Clark, I like your start DJ Chark.
Yeah.
Full circle. Good work, Pete.
Full circle. That's what I'm here for. Nick, what's your second start for the week?
Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton saying he might not be able to play him the rest of the year. Pascal is the alpha dog in this passing game, and they're going up against the aforementioned worst secondary in football, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I see no reason why he will not just obliterate box scores. I think if I were a wide receiver ranker, I'd probably have him as like wide receiver 12. Like, I don't want to have him over the top dogs in the wide receiver one conversation, but I would want to just at least nominally get him into the wide receiver one conversation.
Yeah. Somehow I didn't realize that he's coming off of a 109 yard performance against the Titans.
He's talented. And Frank Reich is really making a push for an unsexy coach of the year candidate. I mean, I know it's been so long, but remember Andrew Luck was supposed to play this year, and the Colts have still looked pretty good on offense, not executing probably at the best, but they're interesting to watch. I've watched a lot of them watching the AFC South. They're fun and they are tough for defenses to cover, and you can just tell that Jacoby Brissett is just okay at quarterback, and I think that and all of the injuries that they've had is sort of holding them back. But I think Frank Reich has done a fantastic job. And the point is, that just bodes well for whoever is starting for the Colts. They have been pretty serviceable this year. So I like the Pascal call.
Yeah, that's a great call. He left a bitter taste in my mouth because I added him when he first kind of jumped onto the stage. And then he kind of sputtered out. And so I had to drop him. But yeah, I like this call a lot. He came off of a huge game going up against the worst secondary in football. I like the call. Second start for the week is James White versus the Kansas City Chiefs, because this offense, this Patriots offense, is a hot pile of steaming garbage, and Brady can't wait to get rid of it. I think he's 100% saying, fuck playing till 57 this year. I'm retiring as soon as the year's over, because Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick can't put a team around me. He trusts two people, Julian Edelman, who's likely dealing with multiple broken bones, and James White, who for some reason was an afterthought against Houston until Josh McDaniels was like, oh, maybe we should call plays for our best offensive player against a defense that can't stop pass-catching running backs. Oh, what do you know? 98 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns on 8 catches.
It was nice that they forgot about that.
It was until like the third, middle of the third quarter, where they're like, fuck, we really need to get back into this game. What should we do? Oh, let's give it to James White a lot. And then suddenly James White was doing things. The Chiefs have been bad against running backs for the last 4 weeks. They're allowing the fifth most fantasy points. I think this could be a Sony Michel game too, if the Patriots want to establish the run. But there's no one else in this pass catching group of receivers, including James White, that Brady trusts outside of Edelman and White. And so I'm certain White's going to finish a top 15 running back this week in PPR, just because he's just going to get an absurd amount of volume.
Yeah, I think that the Patriots are good at figuring things out, and their strength is clearly in their backfield with Burkhead, White, and Sony Michel. I think they're the Texans sort of exposed that, hey, if you cover Julian Edelman, there's not a whole lot left out there. They put a corner on James White as well, which was a pretty, you know, seemingly obvious thing, but I guess folks hadn't done that very often.
Yep.
So I think the Patriots are extremely good and extremely adaptive, and they're going to bounce back, and I don't think they're going to bounce back all of a sudden throwing bombs to Philip Dorsett. I think they're going to continue with the dink and dunk, and you're just going to see a lot of activity out of the backfield.
I just want to compliment you, Clark, on that hard James White that we got to experience. I dig it. So I've got James White as the number one RB3 this week. So he's like the premier flex play. I'm really curious to see how they end up using Sony Michel, because this Chiefs team is god awful at stopping the run. It would be very wise for them to give Sony Michel 20 carries. I ranked him, I think, as either an RB3 or an RB4. Like, I can't trust him in a lineup better than a flex. The matchup's there, but you know, his box score production has just been awful.
It's been terrible.
If you're feeling bold, the matchup is there. You know, if you're playing matchups, you could theoretically start Sony Michel like as a running back too. I do think though that all the points that you guys made about James White were apt. He will be involved.
Yeah, especially after Josh McDaniels fell asleep at the wheel against Houston and then was like, oh, maybe we should be playing James White.
It may be a very fun real-life football matchup as well. It would be really cool if they just manned up Tyrann Mathieu against James White to see how that would all happen.
That would actually be a lot of fun. I would dig that. I don't want to, like, give Andy Reid the Chiefs strategy, but because I know they listen. Every NFL coach listens to the podcast, but that would be dope. I like that matchup. Good call, Clark. You are a smart man. Nicholas, your third start for the week.
Yes, sir. except it's a sit.
Ooh, Clark, do you have another start? Because I got one more start.
Oh, no.
I have one more start, guys. And I only have one sit. So
perfect. Clark, give us your third start.
So sometimes you just have to get the story out. But this one is me putting my money where my mouth is. My start this week over the, am I reading this right? Quarterback 2 Dak Prescott is Ryan Fitzpatrick, baby. He's on a 2-game hot streak. He hits it every year. I'm betting that this is the game that he does not turn back into a pumpkin against a fairly middling Jets defense who's ranked like 18th and 17th against the pass and the run. I'm putting my faith in Fitzmagic. The playoffs are on the line, and I'm going for it.
Yes, Fitzmagic!
I'm on board. Yeah, he's my quarterback 12 this week. I kind of did the same thing I was talking about with Zach Pascal, just like getting him into that one tier, the QB one tier, the wide receiver one tier. He deserves it, and what he's done for us with Devontae Parker is beautiful, and it's such a good matchup. Clark, I have to confess that I only just now understood the phrase that you've been using for the year that I've known you, of turning back into a pumpkin, being a reference to the, help me, the term?
Cinderella?
Cinderella?
The carriage? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime I can make a 400-year-old reference on a fantasy football podcast, I am going to do it.
I just thought it was a funny phrase that you had started using. All right. Yeah, this is good.
Clark and his old folksy southern sayings.
Oh, Clark and that crazy pumpkin he keeps talking about.
And you hit us with another in the where when you started that one, too. So I'm having a great time.
On a roll tonight, I guess.
Yeah. Nick is just like, you know what, guys? I'm going to just sit the rest of the podcast and just listen. I'm just going to enjoy every. Oh, I love it. All right. Before we go to sits, I got one more start. And my start is Mike Williams, who, while the Chargers offense has been terrible and hidden by Philip Rivers' steady stream of interceptions, Mike Williams has actually had a pretty good season. He's on pace for 1,132 yards and averaging roughly 70 yards per game. He's also been really consistent too, only posting less than 7 PPR points once back in week one. And he's only had 4 single digit PPR point games. And as Nick alluded to, the crazy thing though, is that he hasn't scored a touchdown yet, which is preposterous in my book, but positive regression, it's coming. Will he score a touchdown against the Jags? I don't know, but I would love him to do it and to get a touchdown. And if he doesn't, he's still putting up a pretty consistent performance where he's going to get you solid flex work. And if he does score a touchdown, you don't want to miss out on that. So I like him this week to continue thriving, because this is an offense that I have totally overlooked and ignored because Philip Rivers is tossing the ball away like it is a hot potato. But Mike Williams quietly doing it.
So I'm blanking on the guy's name. JJ Zacharyson was talking about this in the Late Round podcast today. The trends episode doesn't look like the print version is out yet, or the written version is out yet. Otherwise, I'd get it right. But I think it was like Harmony Tunes. Mike Williams is on pace to set the record for most yardage without a touchdown. The record, I think, was founded in like 1991 or like 95. And it's 980 yards or something without a score. He's on his way there.
He's going to do
it. It'll be a feat if he clears 1,000 yards and can't score after his entire career has been putting up no yardage and just catching touchdowns.
Maybe this is just like the world balancing out. Just needs an equilibrium. He scored so many touchdowns that now he has to get the yardage to accommodate for that touchdown production.
If you want to upset a nerd like me, you can say that, this is regression. It's not how regression works, but you could do it.
But yeah, one could say that if they wanted to. All right, before we hit up sits, we're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we are back, and it is now time to talk about those players who maybe you shouldn't be starting this week. Nick, why don't you start us off?
So might be a bit of an oddball one, but my sit is Darwin Thompson. I think we're at the point in the year where everyone, you know, you're made in the playoffs. You're starting to look at, I might have to bench one of my starters because of usage or whatever. How am I going to get around this? Well, Darwin Thompson was a hot name in June and July in some circles. Outside of the pod.
In our circle.
In this circle.
Circle was very
I went down with that ship 3 months ago.
I know. You turned me on to him. I was like, all right, nice.
Sorry, guys.
Anyway.
Never listened to me for running backs.
Matt Kelly, the pod father, he was like, nah, get the hell out with this one. No Darwin Thompson. Anyway, you know, we thought that there was a chance that he could take over the backfield. That obviously didn't happen. When Damian Williams was down the first time, it was like, oh my God, is this going to be Darwin Thompson? Is he going to get like a 1B role? No, didn't happen. Now with both Damian and Darrell Williams, very questionable to play this week. Instead of rolling with LeSean McCoy and Darwin Thompson, the team went out and signed their old running back, Spencer Ware. This is not a vote of confidence. Yeah. Yesterday. So that'll be a Tuesday for listeners tomorrow. They went out inside Spencer. Yeah, get it out, Clark.
But Darwin, he's good.
I think it's pass protection.
I'm drafting him next year already. I don't care. I'm taking him.
Cool. Yeah, do your thing. I felt the same way about Justin Jackson this year. But anyway, Yeah, so LeSean McCoy, his whole thing when he came to the team was, I have to learn the routes and I have to learn the pass protection responsibilities. That's what's keeping me off the field right now. Once he clearly learned pass pro, the assignments, he was good. They put him out there, and he had a few big games. Darwin Thompson, it's just been a total no-show. And the fact that they went out and signed somebody is not a good sign. So if you were looking for light in a dark place, it's not going to be Darwin Thompson. I think it's going to be the LeSean McCoy and Spencer Ware show. I mean, Spencer Ware just gets to walk in. He could take over the backfield.
This is why you just stay away from the Chiefs' backfield.
Yeah, three-man backfields are dangerous. So anyway, yeah, sit Darwin Thompson if you guys were thinking you might want to try to get crafty.
I like it. He burned me too much this year. I'm off. But next year, I cannot wait to hype him up as a great fifth-round pick.
Yep.
I can already feel it in my jibbies.
Clark, what's a sit for you this week? Your one sit.
So my lone sit is someone who I've been hyping for the past couple of weeks, and I feel like I've been right about him because he has been racking up yards and he has been getting the usage. A nice little third running back desperation flex in Bo Scarborough, but I think the matchup is going to be too much to overcome this week against Minnesota. The Lions are just having trouble moving the ball in general, and while he has been plugging away and getting you some production for a good late season pickup, I think you got to give Bo the week off against the Vikings.
Yeah, I like that call a lot, especially since I think the Vikings, you can pass on the Vikings with pretty much a lot of ease now, and I think that the Lions will look to exploit that and just negate the ground game.
Did you guys see Kerryon Johnson returned?
I did, to practice.
Yeah, so you can come back in week 16, which is terrifying and incredible. But, if you're listening to this and you haven't picked him up, if he's free in your league, it's worth to go get him, because who knows who's going to be carrying the ball at that point in time. They might not have anybody else. I'm still going to ride with Bo as a flex option. His workloads have been stable enough that it's a bet on just on usage thing. His yardage has been real nice. He had that fumble, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that kind of hurt his box score. He's been right around that like 9-point threshold over the last couple weeks. And yeah, I mean the Vikings, they got sledgehammered by the Seattle backs last week. Week before was or well they were
well that's just good coaching in Seattle.
Don't even. That's fair. That's fair. I gave it to you.
It took me a while to like why Clark was saying that, and then it dawned on me, and I was like, "Ah, incredible work, Clark! Incredible work."
So anyway, I mean, they've been box score friendly to running backs, and I think that anybody who's getting 18 touches, he still should retain flex value. This Vikings defense is bizarre, guys.
They're a weird defense.
Yeah, but they are giving up points here. It's weird. So anyway, don't expect to come for Bill, but I'm probably not gonna sit him.
So I think you raised a good point here. So I have been hyping Bo Scarborough as a solid RB2. Let's plug in your lineup. If I'm struggling at running back and he's my best third flex option, I mean, like if I'm looking at Emmanuel Sanders or Bo Scarborough, I'm going to put Scarborough in there. So I think you're making a really good point of, I'm not saying avoid him at all costs, but I think that 8-9 points this week may end up being 3 or 4. And that's got me worried.
Okay. Yeah. I friggin' hope he finds the end zone, man. Cause
he's such a huge man.
He's a big boy.
He's athletic too. I comped him with, he's right there athletically with Saquon and Zeke. It's pretty nuts. You go look at his workout metrics. He can move in short areas. It's bizarre.
He looks a little plodding, but he is also very powerful and seems to shake off a lot of tackles. If you've been watching the Lions, which I hope you haven't, he has had a lot of bad luck with calls where he will break it and there will be some dumb hold phantom penalty that is making him lose the big 25-yard runs.
That's the worst.
Very frustrating. Someone who's been hyping this person. But he is okay. And I made the comp to LeGarrette Blount of, it doesn't really look great when he's doing it, but people just seem to have a hard time getting him down. And when he gets some momentum going, it it's a good old fashioned thing to watch, and I
enjoy it. A swift moving 235 pounds is tough to take down.
Hard to bring that person down. Yeah. My first start and sit for this week. I am not having a lot of faith in Marquise Brown against the Bills. There's a few things going against him in my book. First of all, the Bills defense, primarily Tre'Davious White, has been very good this season. They're allowing just 4 touchdowns to outside receivers on the season. And the Ravens have shown a propensity for not loving to throw the football to their wide receivers. And given Buffalo's struggle stopping the run, I could see it being a Mark Ingram, Gus the Bus, and Lamar Jackson juking everyone out of their shoes game. And the Ravens just doing what they do best and running the football and throwing it to Mark Andrews and not really targeting their wide receivers. So I don't love him this week.
It's a scary matchup, man. I feel you. Tre'Davious White is the real friggin' deal.
Brown has been playing great this year.
Yeah. Brown has, you know, the ability to house it anywhere. There are situations where it's worth starting it. You know, if you're just up against the gargantuan team, there's no reason to play it. If you're the 4 seed, sure, and you're playing the 1 seed, or you're the 6 seed playing the 3, like, screw it.
Go back.
You know, if you don't have anything better. But if you've got a pretty solid team, yeah, I'm with you on this. Don't risk it.
Nicholas, you got one more sit for us? I got one more too, but if you got one, we'll throw it in first.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So this one's a bit of a Yahtzee or nice, whatever. Tyler Lockett. So the dude had the flu bad last week, and he had, I think, 3 targets and didn't catch any of them. He looked terrible in the interview after the game. We need to heavily monitor local reporting and try to decipher if he's feeling better, if he's good to go, because if he is, the Rams Hawks, they usually put up some points against each other. I suppose he might get some Jalen Ramsey treatment, but slot guys are slot guys. Yeah. They'll get the job done in there. What are you giggling at? But anywho, if Tyler Lockett is not getting a clean bill of health on Friday, I would probably not be putting him in the lineup. If he is, then he's a start, because it should be a fun one.
I just have 2 comments about the stupid Seattle Seahawks. I missed the playoffs in my big money league by 1.25 points because after I turned the game off, DK Metcalf decided to show up and put up literally just enough for me to lose. And second, most touchdown and interception celebrations are dumb. And it's not because I'm old and because I don't like fun. It's just because they're stupid and uninspired. That is not the case from what we saw in Seattle with that touchdown dance. I didn't get it. I finally saw all of these people online tweeting about, like, white people won't get this. And I'm like, go on. I don't get it. And then that was just fantastic. So hats off to the Seattle wide receivers for knocking down that touchdown celebration. I just, very, very fine job, everybody. That was hip.
There you go. Rousing endorsement from old man, resident old man Clark Barnes.
Just got to do it well, guys, and I'm on board.
The seal of approval is there. We'll wrap up starts and sits. I got one final sip before we get the Oracle on the phone to give her our most pressing question. I'm going to fade Zach Ertz this week, and my lack of confidence in Zach Ertz this season has been well documented. I have taken many times to tell you that he is not as good as he once was, but against the Giants, they were allowing the 3rd fewest points to the position, and he got outplayed by Dallas Goedert last week in Miami. And I don't know if I necessarily trust him to be able to produce. I'd rather start Clark's Kyle Rudolph versus the Lions. I'd rather start Tyler Higbee versus the Seahawks. And my main guy this week, who's only owned in 48% of leagues, Vance McDonald versus the Cardinals, who give up 100 yards and a touchdown to every tight end they've ever faced. So I would much rather start those 3 guys over Zach Ertz this week. So if you have Zach Ertz and you need the win, as you know, you are a high seed, or you're just not wanting to fall further down the toilet bowl, I would think about sitting him.
They're rare, man. Like, they just keep giving the cards deep. to tight end.
They do. You thought that they would maybe adjust, because like in week three or four they released, wasn't it DJ Swearinger who was their starting safety, and they released him. It was someone who they released, and I was like, oh shit. Well, there goes, like, you know, the Cardinals as being this tight end haven because they are going to now put someone in who can actually cover tight. Nope. They just can't cover tight ends for whatever reason. And I love it. It's like one of the most consistent things you can trust this fantasy season is whatever tight end goes up against the Cardinals is going to have a big day.
It's, so over the last two games, backups Ross Dwelly and Tyler Higbee.
It doesn't fucking matter. It's
and this was the team that made O.J. Howard back.
The only team. The only team that made people who had O.J. Howard be like, see, O.J. can do this. It's like, no, nope, just because he was playing the Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a goofy version of how, like, the Pats and Eagles and Bills would be like, yeah, fuck it, run. You're not going to win the game if you run against us, so go for it. We're going to use set so five weird. DBs, idiot.
But, like, what a weird strategy, Cardinals. Throw it to your tight ends. You can't beat us doing that.
I don't get it, but whatever.
Also, my super sneaky, you guys want to hear my super sneaky hot Eagles trade that should happen this offseason?
Yeah.
Fire away.
Let's get rid of what if the Eagles traded Dallas Goedert to the Jacksonville Jaguars for Nick Foles? Who says no?
Everyone.
No, it's happening. Philly fans would love Nick Foles. Oh, my God, they want him back so badly.
It would be so angry if they traded, like, their future all-pro tight end away to get the backup that they gave away. Now
won them a Super Bowl! Philly fans never forget.
God. They should trade Ertz, though.
They should trade Ertz. Maybe they trade Ertz for Nick Foles. Who says no?
Stop. He has so much money. His contract is enormous.
Oh, Jaguars. Even when you do it right, you do it wrong. All right. Well, there you go. Those are starts and sits for the week. We are now going to call the Oracle and get her thoughts on week 14. Now, we normally like to reach out to our listeners, to you, the wonderful listeners, to see if you guys have any pressing start-sit conundrums that you need answered by her. We got no responses this week, probably because we maybe sent the tweet out a little bit late. So I'll open the floor. I have a conundrum, but do either of you have a start-sit conundrum that you have been grappling with that you'd like to put forward to the Oracle?
Nah.
Giving it a look to you right now. Sure. Yeah. Half point PPR, Dave Montgomery or Debo Samuel.
All right. Let me write those down. That's similar to my question. Mine was going to be Montgomery or Alexander Mattison. All right, let's get the Oracle on the phone, and we will ask her Nicholas's most pressing question.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? You sound ready. You sound prepared.
I am prepared. I've been doing all sorts of research and reading up on things. Actually, just watched a movie.
Oh, what movie?
Instant Family.
Oh, I don't know that. Sounds great.
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, I do know that. Oh, how was it?
It's a very mom kind of flick.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, are you ready, Mom?
I'm ready.
Okay, now, normally we try to get our listeners to cooperate and to give us some starts and sits for you. They fell through, so listeners, step your game up. The Oracle is very upset with you. But Nick has a pressing start-sit conundrum that he is busily struggling with in half-point PPR, which means, we got to explain this to you, which means you get half a point for every reception, so every catch that you get.
Okay.
Should he start running back David Montgomery for the Chicago Bears, who is going up against the Dallas Cowboys? Or, and let me quickly bring it up so that I can tell you, or should he play Debo Samuel, who's a wide receiver for the 49ers, who's going up against the New Orleans Saints?
Well, I need a little more background. You know me.
I know you. But do you have anything in particular that you would like to know about these players before making your decision?
So,
you tend to have a very certain criteria that you look for when you make your picks.
Well, having just watched this movie about family life.
Sure.
what's their family life like?
Very good question. I
no idea.
No idea. Could not say. Debo Samuel is a. They're both rookies, so okay. Maybe they are a little overwhelmed with the NFL because it's a whole rush of things. I have no idea. Yep. One is going up against a run defense that is pretty good. Has had some success stopping running backs, and it's a team that has off and on featured him, but he has been off and on as a producer. And then it's a wide receiver in Debo Samuel, who has been heavily featured in the 49ers offense, is coming off of a few very large games in which he's given great production to his owners, and is going up against a New Orleans secondary that has been giving up some fantasy points in recent weeks.
The Saints have been giving up some fantasy points?
Yep.
Well, I think that when you're starting out, probably your self-confidence is probably boosted by your immediate past performance.
It's fair.
Sense of feeling invincible. There's a lot of invincibility in young age, which you lose as you get older, unfortunately. So I would go with the second guy because it sounds like he's probably on more of a high. And so he's just going to go out there at a higher set point than the other one.
Perfect. There you go. The Oracle has spoken. Debo Samuel is the player you should start like this week.
Yep. He's feeling good about himself, probably.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Ma.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye. All right. The Oracle has made her ruling. And now we will see the Oracle's 100% record will be truly put to the test with our own Nicholas.
Yeah, it was like really sound reasoning.
The Oracle is nothing if not sound in her reasoning. It might be kind of obscure things that she reasons with, but they are. She is thorough in her thought process. All right, there you go. Good luck, everyone, to all of those in the fantasy playoffs. Best of luck to all of those out of the fantasy playoffs. Best of luck with your future endeavors in life. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can find us, the Fake Teams podcast channel. Leave us a review, give us 5 stars because you're excited for the fantasy playoffs to truly begin, and the holidays are just around the corner, so you're excited for that too. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at PM Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark and Nick at Ginger_ Nick without a K. We will be back at you guys next week. Until then, peace.